Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. In this week's music reviews and previews, some old friends have returned with new albums, including one Marshall Mathers and Green Day. And an artist who has made headlines for her impending parenthood with Elon Musk has a new release out as well. Today, we're talking music. And to help us do it, we've got Dee Lockett, music editor at Vulture and New York Magazine. Dee, welcome back to All of It.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
All right, so we've got your list here, and you've got Kesha on the list, High Road, her fourth album. So she's come through this tumultuous time after these long court battles with Dr. Luke. How important is that for background for this album?
Surprisingly, not that important. That's old news in Kesha's world now. She spent the last decade really processing that whole traumatic trial, which didn't end up in her favor, but she pushed past it and made this great album, Rainbow, which was like her redemption album. This is sort of Kesha getting back to the basics of being Kesha, which means exploring her old identity, which was like the Kesha with the dollar sign in the name, mm-hmm. which she has a song on the album featuring that Kesha. And that's getting back to her party roots in a way that makes sense for her at the age she is now. And also there are songs that are more like introspective. You know, there's a collaboration with Sturgill Simpson on there.
I have a clip of that one because I thought that was a really interesting collaboration.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So let's take a listen to Resentment.
I feel loved, darling, I feel used. Nobody makes me feel the way you do. And sometimes I just can't stand it. Isn't that just the thing about us? I'm still thinking you could be the one, but you're always taking me for granted. I got something I gotta get off of my chest. I've been staying up while you're sleeping in my bed. I don't hate you, babe. It's worse than that. 'Cause you hurt me and I don't react. I've been building up this thing for months.
It made me like Sturgill Simpson again after Queen and Slim, because he plays the nasty cop in Queen and Slim. I'm sort of curious, you said this really quickly, and I'm not sure our listeners caught it, that on the Kesha, she's dropped the dollar sign, mm-hmm. but on one of her songs, it features Kesha dollar sign.
Yes, it does.
So what does that mean?
It is Kesha collaborating with who she used to be and merging the present with the past. And it makes for some of the best music she's ever made. In our review that we published today, we're calling it the freest that she's ever sounded.
Let's take a listen to Raising Hell from Kesha, speaking of the freest she's ever sounded. Is she working with any particular producer that you think has really helped her be her freest?
I honestly think that this is all coming from her. It sounds like she really spent a lot of time working on this album. But yeah, working with people like Sturgill Simpson, I think, brought out a new element to her sound, of course. But yeah, this is Kesha.
My guest is Dee Lockett from Vulture and New York Magazine. We're talking about new music you might want to check out. Eminem. Marshall Mathers, Slim Shady, however you want to just call him. So his record came in at number one. Mm-hmm. He now holds the record for the most number ones in a row. It was a bit of a surprise. He has a following, clearly, but is he still relevant? I know that's sort of a harsh question, but is he relevant in the rap universe?
Well, numbers wise, he's clearly still relevant. The latest album, like you said, debuted at number one. Relevant within the larger rap community, yes and no. I think his skills are still very much admired by other peers. I mean, the best song on the album is a collaboration with the late Juice WRLD, and it's a song called Godzilla. And like, he's just rapping as fast as he's ever rapped, possibly, and it sounds good. Like, his talent has not gone to waste. However, his originality is lacking, and I think that is what has sort of pushed him out of relevancy. Sort of like how, you know, the likes of Kanye West is struggling later in their career. It's difficult to age in rap when it hasn't really been done before.
Let's take a listen to a clip from the most recent release from Eminem, Godzilla.
I can swallow a bottle of Wall in her, feel like Godzilla. Better hit the deck like Zacardilla. My whole squad's in here walking around the party. A cross between a zombie apocalypse and Bobby the Brain meaning, which is probably the same reason I wrestle with Mania Shady's in his bitch. I'm posse to consider it to cross me a costly mistake if they sleeping on me. Better get insomnia, ADHD, hydroxy cut. Pass the kibasi. In AA with a naked melee, finna set it like a play date. Better vacate, retreat like a vacay mayday. This beat is cray cray, Ray J, H-A-H-A-H-A. Laughing all the way to the bank, I spray flames. They cannot tame or placate the monster.
So that was Godzilla. Oh, I got it before Juice WRLD. That was bad of me. Oh, sorry. So there's a song on here that is really dark about him. And he's here I am alone again. Can't get out of this hole I'm in. It's like the walls are closing in. You can't help me. No one can. I'm wondering what you thought about this sort of introspective Eminem.
I think that, you know, Eminem, he must be close to 50 now, you know, and I think the last like 10, 15 years of his life have been a lot about overcoming addiction. And I'm sure that process must be extremely lonely and isolating. And like I said, you know, he's sort of an outsider in this rap world, but I think that's of his own creation as well. I think he likes to keep to himself.
Frances Quinlan, you picked Likewise. She's been described as one of rock's best voices. What makes her singing so compelling?
There is such depth to her voice and so much emotion in it, and her lyricism is just stunning. But yeah, she is from the band Hop Along, which is from Philadelphia, but this is her first record on her own. So, and it's just, she's playing around with more synths. There's a lot more sparseness to the records, which really accentuates her voice. You know, sometimes it can get lost in a little bit too much instrumentation and production, but this is just incredible.
The name of this song from Frances Quinlan is Rare Thing from Likewise.
Sunlight touches on the plants that I've been torturing. Yet when I come over, I love that quick delay before your face alights in recognition. I know there is love that doesn't have to do.
Production's really interesting because there's a heavy bass, but her voice is also very present, very mm-hmm. front. Have you seen her live?
I have not yet.
I'm sort of curious after that, hearing that production, what she's like live.
And it's interesting because we just ran an interview with her and she said now that she's not like touring with her band, she's like having to tour with a laptop, which is so like, it's a very foreign experience to her. But I imagine that's putting a lot more of the focus on the vocals, and you can hear all the rich tones in her voice. Like there's just, it's so versatile.
My guest is Dee Lockett from Vulture and New York Magazine. We're talking about new music that's out this month you might want to check out. Tame Impala, it's his first album in half a decade. Why did you pick it?
Well, first of all, this album has been long anticipated. It has taken many, many years to complete, probably because Kevin Parker seems like a perfectionist to me.
For people who don't know, Kevin Parker is Tame
Impala. Tame Impala, lead singer, mastermind. It's his project. But in the time that in between the last Tame Impala record and now, like Kevin Parker's profile has just skyrocketed. You know, he's working with some of the biggest rappers and pop stars in the game. Obviously, famously, Rihanna covered one of their songs on her last album and made the song better than they ever could. Sorry, Kevin. I think you would agree. But yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see where he takes this now, because with their last album, Tame Impala really solidified themselves as one of the biggest and best new bands. And we don't get too many best and new bands around these days. So it'll be interesting to see if this record will still lean psychedelic rock or where he'll take the new sound.
Let's take a listen to the track that we do have from Tame Impala. It's called Lost in Yesterday. Now we've been on that really good in headphones. Mm-hmm. It sounds really, really good up close. For people who don't know about Tame Impala, how does this sound compare to what we heard years ago?
It's similar, very similar. This is very much like their bread and butter, and this is exactly what you should expect to hear them like live if you ever see them. It's extremely psychedelic rock. You can space out to it if you like to indulge in a certain smokable thing. You zone out to it.
Make a new experience better for you. We're not advocating. We're just saying if just you saying. Do. Just saying. Let's talk about Grimes. Okay, so people... although I do think the name of this album is really funny. Mm-hmm. Misanthropocene.
Like which misanthrope.
Is a, yeah. It's I love it. I think that's hilarious.
It's a portmanteau of misanthrope and anthropocene.
But it's like Miss America. Yes, yes, like Miss yes. Anthropocene. So... people know Grimes who don't know music because she is going to have a child with Elon Musk. So how has her connection with Elon Musk affected her image as a musician?
Unfortunately, I think that her association with Elon Musk has really tarnished her reputation. She was already like, she was known as like a pop provocateur, a disruptor. She's very interested in making music with new technology and making music more accessible to make with new technology. But Elon Musk is a very polarizing figure, mm-hmm. and Grimes is already polarizing on her own. You combine the two, and it's nuclear. Like, I think that Grimes has lost a lot of respect, given her lack of understanding, it seems, of certain positions that Elon Musk has found himself in. But I'll leave it at that.
Well, how about her music? Let's take a listen to a clip of her music, and we'll talk about that. This is called So Heavy, I Fell Through the Earth. One of my producers said a couple weeks ago, she said, hey, everybody, stop trying to make me like Grimes. How much, I mean, in terms of her persona, it does seem like there's a big PR machine behind Grimes. Or just sort of this you will like her if you're cool.
Sure, yeah. I think when she first broke out many, many years ago, she was positioned as this alternative to the regular pop music. But obviously, attitudes toward pop music have changed in that time since. I mean, poptimism had its moment. So there's a bit of that element of like, oh, are the things I'm doing on the record as interesting as I'm making them seem? I personally think that she has more of an interesting personality than her music. However, the music still stands. It still holds up on its own. But she is a very hard person to separate the person from the art, as so many other artists are.
King Krule, spelled K-R-U-L-E. Who is King Krule?
So King Krule, his real name is Archie. He's from the UK. He's extremely talented. He has long been in the underground, but it has always been like a favorite on the blogs and all the websites. Like if you read Pitchfork, he's Pitchfork bait for them. But he's good. Like his music is good. And he is extremely talented. He's multi-instrumental. Like he's just a great, great kid. He's 25 years old.
I like the name of this. Don't Let the Dragon, but it's Drag, D-R-A-A-A-G, on. Let's take a listen.
I'm holding my head for those who ain't been held too close in times of pain. When the ceiling drips, rooms bathed in gray. I'm sorry to trip for another day. I keep telling those.
My guest is Dee Lockett from Vulture and New York Magazine. We're talking about some new music you might want to check out. So Green Day is back as well. You have them in here, 13th album. Mm-hmm. So what do we know about the new record?
So it's called Father of All Expletive.
Yes, we can't say it. Thank you.
This is an interesting album because it sounds a lot like some of their side projects that they've done. So they have a whole other side band called Foxborough. I'm blanking on the rest of the name. But they make music as this alternate band, and they've never really merged the two sounds, but this is sort of like that, and it's more like this garage rock. Mm-hmm. It's not as polished as some of their other previous new music has been, so I'm interested to see a band that has been around for as long as they have been, this legacy act, sort of finding new ways and new ins and outs of their sound. I like a band that wants to like keep challenging themselves and not just default to what they've always done.
And they've already had a Broadway show. They've done a whole bunch of really interesting things. It's going to be interesting.
For sure, yeah.
Let's take a listen to a clip of Father of All. We can't say it. Sucker for a crunchy guitar.
Love
I can't
it.
Help it. It's Foxborough Hot Tubs.
Hot Tubs. Thank you. What a bad Green Day fan I am.
I actually am looking forward to that one. All right. So this one is for the masses. BTS.
Oh, boy.
Arguably the biggest band in the world. So for people who are not familiar, for those three people, can you just describe the appeal of BTS and why you believe they are so popular right now?
Sure. So I think that BTS are as popular as they are, not just because there are seven extremely attractive young men and have a large following of young women who are the biggest. I would say young women drive culture more than any other group. So, of course, if they get behind and act like BTS, it's world domination and their army, which is what their fans call themselves, are the army. They gravitate for that, and they have really stood behind BTS and made them this extreme household name across the world. But it's not just that. It's bigger than that. BTS are also extremely, extremely talented young men. They dance, they sing, they write, they rap, and each of them serves a different purpose in the group, which means each of them is extremely, 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 they have extreme expertise in their individual thing. And when you put them all together, it's just beautiful. And they don't stick to one sound, which is why it's exciting that they put out so much new music and it doesn't get boring. You would think we'd be oversaturated by now, but we're not.
Well, let's take a listen to Black Swan from BTS. So you can mount a spirited defense that they are more than a K-pop boy band.
Oh, sure. I think they've reinvented what K-pop could even be. As you even hear in that song, I mean, that's like a trap ballad. Like, that's just, you wouldn't even, that, I, yeah. Obviously, I really enjoy BTS. And I think that the conversation should focus a bit more on their musicality and not just on them as a phenomenon, because I think that tends to overshadow the quality of the work. And I think that's a little bit unfair.
All right, so I saved the two biggest acts for last, BTS and Taylor Swift.
Oh,
so this new documentary, Miss Americana, came out. It's been getting a lot of buzz. It was at Sundance. She released a single to accompany it called Only the Young. Why did you pick Taylor Swift?
So, first of all, I really enjoyed the documentary more than I thought I would. I've always had mixed feelings on Taylor Swift, but I would say it's less a Taylor Swift documentary and more a documentary on a woman in her late 20s, on what it's like to be a woman in your late 20s. So, in that way, it's like universal and very relatable. But yeah, she released this new song to go with it. It's called Only the Young, and this is her first, unsubtle at least, political song. She said she wanted to make it for like disillusioned millennials who feel like their vote isn't going to matter in this election. And I guess her own way, I think that ever since she came out as a Democrat, I think this is her way of trying to rally the vote in her own way without getting behind a candidate yet, because she probably hasn't formed that opinion yet. So I'm excited to see how the rest of this year pans out for her. I would like to see her not just stand behind this one song and this documentary and do a little bit more.
Let's take a listen to Taylor Swift, Only the Young.
It keeps me awake, the look on your face, the moment you heard the news. You're screaming inside and frozen in time, you did all that you could do.
I'm sort of curious about, because for a while she put all of her personal life out there for consumption by her fans and whomever else. I'm very curious about how she's going to react to putting out her political beliefs for people to consume, because she hasn't really dealt with that sort of what can happen when you put out your political beliefs and you're an artist.
Sure. She dipped her toes into it when she spoke up during the midterms, but it is a whole different animal to speak up during a presidential election, which she has not yet during this election. But if the documentary is any indication, it just seems like she does plan to be more vocal. She really took a stand against that room of her managers and her label and her father, all of these men, older men who were telling her not to do this. You know, Bing Crosby would have never, Bob Hope would have never, but Taylor Swift is neither of those things. She's a pop star for this modern age, and she has the privilege to speak up on a lot of these issues and face severe less backlash than I think a Beyonce would. I hope that she does what she can with that voice.
Dee Lockett is music editor at Vulture and New York Magazine. Dee, as always, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And you can check out the Spotify profile playlist by All of It WNYC, where we'll put the songs we played today, plus a few more you should check out. This is All of It.